Today we're reading from the Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? For he hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it. For thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. As we come to the 10th Psalm, there is one question I wish to address. What is wickedness? Wickedness, how do I sum this up? Are the burglars who break into people's houses, stealing and plundering, leaving devastation in their wake, wicked? Are the murderers who take the lives of other human beings, wicked? Are the adulterers and adulteresses who destroy their own marriages and wreck other homes, wicked? Do we define wickedness in these terms alone? All of the sins I have described are certainly facets of and symptoms of wickedness. If you have been guilty of such deeds, you are a wicked person. Let us make no bones about this. In the Psalm 10, however, David shows us that wickedness has more to do with our relationship with God than our relationship with society. Men and women act in wicked ways because their hearts are not right with God. Therefore, he takes us below the skin and reveals that we all have more wickedness within than we admit. What is wickedness? Let us think about the boasting of the wicked. In the second verse, the psalmist gets to the heart of the matter by identifying pride as a major cause of wickedness. In verse 3, he writes about the wicked boasting of his heart's desire. David has in his mind a man or a woman who are full of their own achievements, their own success. They are entirely self-sufficient and see earthly and material success as the sole barometer of a happy life. Therefore, as David defines wickedness, he does not begin with foul and wretched deeds, but he looks at the heart and he identifies one sin, pride. We live in a society which is dominated by the philosophy of humanism. Humanism is the belief that man is the master of his destiny, that he is the most important creature in the universe, that he is neither accountable to nor is he answerable to a greater power. Humanism believes that the material is all that there is. There is no soul, there is no eternity, there is certainly no God. Therefore, we must get on with enjoying life. It is the philosophy which elevates man and places him even on a worship platform. Let us celebrate who we are, our achievements, our potential. This is a philosophy which is truly satanic in its origin. Satan was once a beautiful angel who lived in the presence of God, but he became filled with a sense of pride, and so he raised a rebellion aimed at dethroning God, and for that he was cast out of the Almighty's presence. And he today is a fallen angel. And so he has infiltrated the minds of men and women with the spirit of pride and boasting, where man sees himself as a little god, strutting about as the master of the world, the boasting of the wicked. Then there is the arrogance of the wicked also. This boastful, proud spirit is arrogant in that the wicked person will not seek after God. Therefore, David in the fourth verse wrote, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Proud hearts will not submit themselves to God. What does God require of us? That we confess our sin. This instantly cuts against the grain which is endemic in the spirit of man. If we are to confess that we are sinners, then we admit that we deserve the righteous judgment of God. If we deserve God's justice, then we confess that there is a God whose judgment bar we will one day stand before. If we really believe this truth, we will seek salvation through the forgiveness of God. We will call upon his name and find the grace that he offers through his Son, who was sent into this world to die for us. According to the definition of God's word here, if we fail to come to God, then we are wicked. So you understand that we are more wicked than we realize. The fundamental problem is that men and women refuse to accept the claims that God makes upon their souls, that men and women refuse to accept the gift of God's dear Son, who died for us on the cross. Are you like the lost sheep, going your own way, refusing God's salvation? God is not in your thoughts. That makes you a wicked person. David also talks about the fearlessness of the wicked. One of the outcomes of a proud, arrogant spirit is a false sense of security and optimism. David writes about the wicked, saying in his heart, "I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity." One of the outcomes of Christianity is that the believer becomes increasingly aware of his own mortality, that we have only a little life with which to serve God. It seems, however, that the men and women of this world live as if they will go on forever. There appears to be little concept of the fragility of life. This, of course, is an idle boast. It is vain in the extreme. I encourage you to face up to life's grim realities. Don't run away from these realities, because that is to be guilty of self-deception. Don't live in delusion. Illness and death, they are coming. Tragedy is looming ever larger. Faith in God is the only security and peace when facing problems and death. There is no peace within yourself. You need to look Godward and heavenward for your security, not inward and downward. Then David shares with us something about the cruelty of the wicked. There are, of course, wicked behaviours which are cruel and deceitful. David relates examples of such activities: deceit, fraud, robbery, murder. The argument he has made most powerfully, however, is that these behaviours spring from a heart which is ungodly. Wicked lifestyles are produced by ungodly hearts. If you have not faced up to the sin that is within your own heart, you have no idea where that sin will lead you to. There are men in prison today because they did not come to God and deal with their hearts, and their wicked hearts led them into lives of shame and crime. Your sin, dear listener, will lead you into dark places where you think you will never walk. Therefore, I appeal to you that you come to God and confess your sin today. David shares with us the logic of the wicked. The reason why wicked people live and behave as they do is because they say in their heart, "God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it." This is an example of the practical atheist. The practical atheist will claim there is a God. He may even attend church, but in lifestyle he lives as if God does not see him, as if God does not care, as if God will forget about his sin. Perhaps this has been your attitude. "I can live as I please. God won't pay any attention." Perhaps you have committed crimes. You have hurt people. You think you have got away with it all. You think that God will not intervene. Perhaps you have been guilty of adultery. Your wife does not know. You think that is all that matters. But God knows. That is more important. But you live as if your life does not matter to God. This is the logic of the wicked man or the wicked woman. To live as if there is no God, and that is a self-deception, because God knows and he will hold you accountable for what you have done. David, however, presents a conclusion, a very powerful conclusion. He draws a contrast with the wicked. As wickedness is caused by a spirit of pride, so the antidote, the cure for wickedness, is a spirit of humility. Therefore, David declares, "Arise, O Lord God, forget not the humble." And he also says, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear." I appeal to you, whatever your state of mind or life, regardless of your sins, there is mercy with God. He is forgiving and long-suffering. Come to him with humility, accepting your sin, looking to him for forgiveness. accepting that you are not the master of your destiny. God is. And you must surrender yourself to Him. You must come to Him and give Him your life as He gave His Son for you. And when you do that, He will forgive you and He will change you. And your life will never be the same again. Don't continue embracing wickedness. Come to God just as you are and find new life in Him. I thank you so much for listening.